Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
By the way, just I feel a little bad because I have not heard back from the crazy news lady in Anchorage, Alaska.
You need to own up to the fact that you may have a new focus in life.
She's my favorite voicemail I've maybe ever heard, and I've suspected that all anchors on local news are this crazy.
Ethan, it's Maria Athens from Fox ABC CW Newsnet National Alaska. I just learned through my Emmy award-winning journalism, you're also a pedophile and like little girls and children. And there's a website. I'm so f***ing exposing you. I'm going to get an Emmy. So you either turn yourself in, kill yourself, or do what you need to do. I will personally kill you and Mara Kimmel, my goddamn self, you Jewish piece of living f***ing s***. You have met your match, motherfucker. You have met your motherfucking match. I can't believe I am such a good person and thought I loved you. I f***ing hate, I don't even hate you. I will pray for your Zionist f***ing ass, you piece of s*** loser. And I'm putting this on the news tonight. Bye. Have a great Friday, you motherfucker.
It never stops.
That's from the Side Bitches Be Crazy album. That's just not. I got to get Nikki. She'll love this. That's why the scene, there's so much to talk about. The Cabin with Burt Kreischer is streaming now, a Netflix series. It is ridiculous. And this time it's Nikki butt waxing, a lot of butthole, and suddenly a quick appearance by Caitlyn Jenner, who I always see and I know I want to see Bruce as Caitlyn, but for whatever reason, I can't. I can't.
I know.
It always looks like Bruce to me. He's like, hello, everybody. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
Born June 1st in Cincinnati, Ohio, and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. A graduate of the University of Kansas, she is a stand-up comedian who has appeared on The Tonight Show, Conan, and Last Comic Standing, as well as standout appearances on numerous Comedy Central roasts. You can listen to her podcast and satellite radio show, You Up. You can see her Netflix special, Bangin', as well as seeing her on the Netflix stand-up series, The Degenerates. And now you can see her alongside Caitlyn Jenner on an episode of the new Burt Kreischer Netflix series, The Cabin. Please welcome comedian and friend of the show, Nikki Glaser.
I cannot believe you're still in St. Louis with your parents.
I can't either.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I sound about as mentally with it as that woman that left that voicemail that we just heard. I wake up on that side of the bed most days.
Is that the best? So she was having an affair with this guy. He's married. And clearly she may have found somebody to help her with some man-manufactured drugs. And because I feel like she hasn't had a nap lately, like in a month. So she goes on the news with that. She leaves that crazy voicemail. She also has been banging the station manager and punched him in the face 3 days ago and went to jail.
Oh, my God. And I love that she's like, and I'm a good person. Remind herself of that in the middle of it. that was insane. Thank you for giving it some context. I'm like, what is this?
It's my favorite because I immediately sent her a message. I found a Facebook that was still active, and I'm like, hey, I read your story. Stay strong. Don't let the deep state get you down.
Do not invite her into your life.
This is what 2020 does. I'm looking for crazy now.
I know. Why would you seek that out? But you're insane. That's I'm still living in my parents' house. I'm in their kitchen currently. They are at their cabin. They have a cabin, much like Bert Kreischer did for the show, where they go and they get away from me for a couple days a week.
So I was gonna say, like, your parents left their own house
because that's what they do there.
The stabbing cabin.
I call it their effing cabin. Okay. That's so, what they're probably doing there.
My girlfriend lives in a little house that was built in 1924 on a little body of water, and it's a little community. And the guy who used to own it, now like 75, he saw that we'd redone this little bitty house, and he comes over and he goes, "Can I come see it?" And I go, "Sure, come on down." This old man walks in the middle of the kitchen. He goes, "We used to call this the stabbing cabin."
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Everywhere you ever live, if other people have lived there, there's been a lot of sex that has happened in it, and you just have to face the facts.
What are you doing for companionship? You have a someone you could call in St. Louis that understands that you're going to be leaving some point.
No, I really am not someone who likes casual encounters as much as it might seem that I am. So I am really not. I don't really like to have sex outside of a relationship, and I'm really not. I'm not into doing anything with. If I'm not having sex with you, I don't want to do anything with you. So I pretty much don't do anything.
You got a lot
of
rules.
I don't want to kiss. I don't want to make out for like an. I don't understand these girls that are like, we just made out for an hour. I'm like, I would be so bored. I that's too intimate. That's like worse than sex. I can't even imagine wanting to do that with someone. And I'm just very picky, and it's really hard for me to let people in, especially when I'm in a circumstance when it's like. I mean, I feel like most men relate to this. Like, they don't like to be in relationships when they don't, like, love the circumstance they're living in, where you know, either they don't have a job or they're living with their parents or they don't have a car. Like, it's hard to, like, have a lot of self-value to, like, go out and date. So although I'm, like, rich and successful, my status of living with my parents just makes it so I'm just like, I don't really want to, what am I going to, and all you can do is FaceTime, you know? And I don't want to date anyone in St. Louis because I don't want to get stuck here. So,
I don't do anything. Good
point. You are so old. You've had way too much time. Way too much time, my dear friend. We got to get you out of here.
Yeah, I've been here since March. And my ex-boyfriend lives in town.
Oh, no.
So I've been trying to get that going, but he also lives with his parents. So it's just.
But are you? Like, is he or you? Who's doing it? Are you calling him or is he calling you?
We're friends, so we both call each other. We hang out all the time.
But you don't bang him? Why wouldn't you bang him?
Listen, I'm trying, but there's only so much you can, like, I'm not someone who really pursues. So if someone's not coming after me, I'm just kind of like, all right, you know, there's only so much I can put it out there. And, he knows I'm down, so it's his move. But I think he's a little reticent to do it because, you know, we've hurt each other a lot, so it's just like, why do that again? But I'm like, because we both know we don't want to be together, so let's just do the thing we're really good at.
That was my point.
Yeah, but it complicates things. You get attached, you start having sex, you get attached again, and then you start daydreaming about what it could be, and you both know what it's not going to be, and then you just can't be friends after that, and it'll eventually ruin it. But, I don't know. It's difficult.
This is the genius of a woman. I don't have one of those thoughts till after I ejaculate.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I know you guys have those thoughts after you ejaculate. And so I am planning for the change of heart that happens afterwards. I am making sure that that does not happen. Because that is that's happened to me so many times where a guy is super into me and then we have sex. And then the second he's done, it's like, hey, I just, you know, I'm really busy this week. And I don't know that
so
I'm
terrible.
To be starting a relationship. And it was like, literally 7 minutes ago, you said you were my boyfriend. So I don't know what changed in that time.
It's so bad.
What huge life events have transpired in the last 6 minutes but it's all about they finish. And there's something about when you guys make that grunting sound and that all the fanfare is over, you just lose interest. And I can't deal with that anymore. So I don't have sex because I, because if I have sex with you, I like you.
I know.
I don't have sex with people I don't like. Right. So if I have sex with you, I want to be in a relationship with you. And but the problem is, when you have sex with someone, that's when they don't want to be in a relationship with you. They want you up and to the point. It's so weird.
But it's not weird.
You're frustrating.
It's, I just got to tell you, like, here's, because it used to really, I'll be honest, it used to freak me out when I was younger. It doesn't happen now. I'm you know, I've kind of got myself emotionally a little more together. But when you're younger, you think, man, I was so into this girl. And then everything I felt now seems to be on her back.
It's out of you.
And it's,
you're empty.
All the good feelings.
It's honestly, it really is. It's a real thing. And I'm sure it freaks you out because you don't want to change your mind on a dime that. Like, it's crazy. And you're not lying to the girl beforehand. You actually are interested in hearing about her, you know, drama with her roommate or her cat's eye infection. Like, you're interested in all these things. And then the second you ejaculate, you hate her, kind of. You're just
You want to leave,
and you don't want to be around her anymore. And it's so weird. That's got to be a very disconcerting feeling. But the reason it happens is because we're biologically not supposed to be, like, monogamous. And after a guy ejaculates, the job is done. He's on to the next teepee in the tribe. You can't get something pregnant twice, so there's no point in having sex with something twice. So your body as a man is just like, okay, we're all wrapped up here. Don't need to be interested in this thing anymore. I already did what I needed to do to spread my seed and get this girl pregnant. And so biologically, your body's like, get away from her.
God, I love
you. It would be a waste of your sperm if you did this again.
It's such a weird thing with you because you're such a great comedian, but there's also so much honesty and truth in everything you say that I'm somehow terrified of you, but a little in love with you.
Oh, thanks.
That's the honest part of me, because
that way,
just so you know, I'm honest right now. No erection. We're not in the same room. Like, there's no chance that I'm working here. So this is like after ejaculation talk.
Yes. Well, I appreciate that, but the thing is, that's the thing. I've been burned so many times by guys who change their mind that I don't even do it anymore. I won't do it anymore because it's happened so, that exact thing has happened so many times. I don't even know how girls ever do it again after it's happened even once. I have PTSD from guys just like changing their mind. And so I just don't do it. But, you know, what it does take is that you have to just not sleep with them until they are in love with you. And then once they're in love with you, it really is fine.
That's
like,
true.
That's the problem girls make, is that they sleep with guys before they're in love. The guy needs to be in love with you.
Or you have to just put out something so ridiculously dirty and over the top that that's all you can think about. Because that's also the way to a guy's brain. We're not that smart. Like, if you really put something out there that you've never experienced before, it's so over the top, you can't wait to get back to that again.
You can't keep that up. You can't keep that up. A girl can put that out there once. But then how do you keep topping yourself? And there's always porn. There's always someone doing something crazy on porn. And there's Tinder, where there are women who are sex addicts that are willing to sleep with guys in a minute's notice that are hot. You can't compete with that stuff. So it's not about the sex or being hot or luring them in. It literally is about them having to, like, actually be in love with you. I've read a lot of books about this. It's true. It's hard for me to get a guy to be in love with me.
Terrified.
Because I don't really want that, to be honest with you. I am scared of commitment, and I like when a guy will leave afterwards. I kind of like that they're not going to stick around.
I'm terrified.
Living with my parents, I'm clearly scared of commitment. I can't commit to an apartment. I can't commit to a city.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm the same. I never asked a girl out in my adult life. If they basically didn't expose themselves to me or really come on to me in a certain way, like, I just pass because I can't stand rejection. I'm terrified of it.
Right. Yes, that's the worst. I can't stand. Yeah, the rejection is the worst. Like, I'm on all these dating apps, and then I match with a guy, and they'll like start talking to me, and we'll be having a good conversation within the app, and then they'll be like, let's take it outside the app. Let's meet up. I'd like to take you out. And the second it gets, like, romantic,
like,
start talking about the future, I bail because I need it to start as friends, and then I need to choose when it goes to the romantic. I need to, like, I need to be in control. I don't like when it's taken out of control. And also, there's this new trend I'm hearing happening with my friends who are dating, especially in New York City, and I think it's happening everywhere because I've seen it on the apps, is that men are more likely to want commitment now because of the pandemic. It's made men are so lonely, and we all know that we can be quarantined and things can shut down. And so I think a lot of guys are realizing this, like, Playboy lifestyle isn't really conducive to hunkering down in a bunker with someone. So I think a lot of guys are rushing things. I've had so many messages on these dating apps go from, like, what are you doing during quarantine? To do you want to go through the next one of these together? Take a city. I'll come live with you there. Like, these guys want to, like, settle down quick, and I'm like, I don't even know your name. Like, I forget these guys' names. These guys are, the dating apps are just a terrible place to be.
Yeah, I wouldn't
that's
do
all
that.
I have right now.
Oh. Well, you got Bert Kreischer in the cabin. There was that. You got to see his butthole. Yeah.
That's true. Bert is, I wish I could find myself a Bert. He's such a wonderful man and
a good husband
and a loyal person. And I really got to know him on that show, The Cabin on Netflix. It just premiered yesterday. Me and Caitlyn Jenner and Bert Kreischer all kind of quarantined in a cabin together for an entire day. It was a crazy long day of just, like, doing different activities around the house. Even off camera, we were really just, there was nowhere to go. We were all hanging out with each other for a very long day in a small cabin. And it was very intimate, and we really got to know each other, and it was awesome.
Do you feel like you're friends with Caitlyn Jenner now?
I did. I mean, we shot that in January, and we really bonded on the set. Like, it got intense. We talked about some serious stuff, and then in between, shots, we would just, like, sit on the couch and just, like, chat, like, you know, two just ladies just, like, sharing about life. And she has so much wisdom to bestow. She's, like, a motivational speaker, and she has amazing stories. I mean, she's lived so many different lives, and she's just incredible. I was blown away by her, to be honest. I was very scared to meet her and intimidated, and I didn't know what to think because I was very familiar with when she was Bruce on.
Well, yeah, no, that's what weirds me out.
That's
is
I knew her.
I'd be afraid I couldn't see. Like, I'd like to meet her because I find it weirdly.
I'm not kidding you, Donnie. You would not struggle to be like, oh, am I going to accidentally call her Bruce? There's no way. She is, like, the hottest older woman you've ever seen. I'm not joking you. If I could sign some sort of document that would guarantee I'm as hot as Caitlyn Jenner when I'm her age, sign me up. She is a bona fide babe. There's no, I mean, I didn't know her as Bruce all that much. You know, I didn't grow up, like, in the 70s watching Bruce win medals. So I only got familiar with Bruce during Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but it's a completely different person.
Yeah.
And I mean, and she doesn't shy away from talking about her life as Bruce, but she is Caitlyn. I mean, she really is.
No, I believe that.
She's a just sweet, sweet lady. And just talks about her kids just like any proud mother would. Like, it was really eye-opening. And we became friends. I mean, at the end of the shoot, she was like, can I have your number? And we were texting a little bit. And then it faded off, like, almost instantly. But, I mean, I still have her number. And she...
text her and go, hey, how are you doing? Just text her. Hey, the episode ran. I just made me think of you. How are you?
Yeah, maybe I should.
Are you like me where you're afraid that you're bothering somebody? Do you ever get that? Like, you'll have somebody, a celebrity's phone number, and you think, man, maybe I shouldn't bother them.
I don't do anything with those numbers. Yeah, I get too scared. I have a couple celebrities who I got their number, and I go, why do I even have this? And then they reached out to me, and we've kind of, like, we have a friendship. And every time I'm friends with David Spade, and that's, like, maybe that might not seem like a name drop, but to me that is, like, if someone would have told me that you're going to be friends with David Spade someday and, like, regularly texting with him and Bob Saget, and, like, these people are your friends, actual friends. It's just unbelievable.
Bob is the one guy I do that texting with, and it always degenerates into this worst one-liner, like, terrible observations about this life, like, horrific. Like, I think he's one of the greatest, sweetest, kindest, funniest, darkest human beings I've ever known in my life.
I mean, you just nailed it. Like, he is out of this world, kind and and just very dark. There's nothing you can say that shocks him.
No.
He goes there before you will go there. And he makes me laugh so hard. He is that Danny Tanner, like, just loving father type vibe, but also like filthy, where you're just, it makes you blush.
The
things he says, and I'm pretty filthy myself, but he's never creepy. It's never that. It's just, he's just good old fashioned filthy.
Yeah.
And he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's the only guy I feel comfortable really reaching out to for a lot. Because he's just a wonderful guy. Now, Bert, I will talk.
No, I hold on to those numbers, and I just, like, see them in my phone, and they're just, like, little treasures that I will never, display or, like, do anything with. But it's just nice to know they're there.
Yeah. Dude, it's, and Bert Kreischer, when I met him, he's one of the greatest storytellers I've ever met. And his life is incredibly interesting. And just my thing with him is when he'll get so tickled at his own stuff, it makes me laugh out loud. I just get caught up in it.
Oh my God. His laughter is so contagious. It's the best. There's a clip of him and Tom Segura. I don't know if you've seen it on their podcast. And Bert goes to take a sip of his water bottle. And he goes, hold on one second. I got a sip of Kool-Aid. And Tom goes, what, Kool-Aid? He goes, yeah, I drink Kool-Aid. And they just both start laughing so hard. He goes, I drink Kool-Aid every day. And he has a gigantic thing of Kool-Aid. I can't tell you enough. You have to look it up. Anytime I'm in a bad mood, I pull up that clip because they both laugh for like 4 minutes straight about Bert Kreischer drinking Kool-Aid. And Bert's laugh is just, it's like a Prozac. It's literally, I really do watch that clip when I need to laugh and get in a better mood because it actually works.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way.
It's just a joy.
Yeah. And you know what? This is the thing you don't hear about comedians. You hardly ever meet a comedian, in my experience, that really love other comedians, that truly, like, when Bert does well, you're going to be happy. When you do well, he's going to be happy for you. When Bob Saget hears that you've got a new special, he's going to be the first one to congratulate you. And there is a circle, and I never saw this in the earlier days of comedy. I used to only hear guys come in the studio, and they'd be mad that they weren't at the same place somebody else was. And there's a new breed. You guys, there's a new generation of comedians.
No, we're all still like that, except we just talk. We don't talk about it, on the radio. But no, I'm still seething with jealousy for anyone who is succeeding more than I am. But it tends to be, we are supportive, and I've learned. It's hard to be, though. It does feel like the industry can chew you up and spit you out, and it does. Like, there's no way to sustain a career forever. You will have dips, and you will go out of fair for a while, and then you'll get brought back in. Like, that is the nature of the beast. There's no one who avoids it. No one. So you go in knowing that, but it still hurts when you have a moment, and then the moment passes, and then someone else younger and prettier and maybe funnier and comes along, and everyone touts them as the new hot thing, and you go, and it's hard not to be super jealous. So what I do is I mute anyone on Instagram who makes me jealous. So I'm literally following like 3 comedians on there who don't trigger me. Like, I am not, especially living with my parents, I don't need to see anyone's success right now. Like, it's just not good. It doesn't make me feel better. It doesn't make me go, oh, I want to work harder. It just makes me go, you're a loser. What are you doing with your life? So I mute everyone. I don't follow anyone because I can't see it. Instagram just makes me feel terrible about myself. And it actually hurts me, and it makes me less funny and less productive. But I do love seeing my friend. Like, Bert Kreischer and I aren't, like, competing for one another's roles. Like, if he gets a role in a thing, it's not because it's usually for whoever is your kind of, like, competition. Like, for me, it's, like, girls from, like, in their late 20s to 40s, early 40s. That's my, like, it's girls in their 30s. Those are my competition. That's what Hollywood says it is. And they always go, there's enough room for all of us. Because I don't really know that there is. I think that there's a certain amount of roles and a certain amount of Netflix specials that are given to a certain amount of white women.
Yeah.
And if you're like, there is a certain amount. So
no.
You're right.
To say that there's room for all of us is stupid. But what I will say is that when one of us succeeds, if a 30-year-old blonde woman is hilarious and it's not me, oh, at least it verifies that 30-year-old blonde women are funny, and maybe it makes it so people who might not think I was funny now might give me a chance. You know, it's things like that. And
well,
it's inspiring, because if someone does really well, you go, okay, well, I got to try harder. But I tend to just want to ignore it. I mean, literally, my Instagram, I've muted everyone. I follow a ton of people, but I'm like only like, you know, meme accounts show up of, and like, you know, wacky animals. And
you know
like
what? I'm
going
to check today
that's
to
like
see
all my Instagram.
I'm checking today to see if you follow me. If you don't, I'm going to be hurt because I follow you.
If I don't follow you, it's not personal. But if it's because I'm jealous, John.
But I'm not going to do well, so we're fine.
You're doing great. I'm jealous of your.
You're doing great.
I'll probably be jealous of your hair. You still got good hair?
No, balding. And no, I'm not balding. No, of course it's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm like my hair is like falling out from stress. So anyone with good hair, I just even Willie Nelson. I saw him the other day, and I was like, nope.
All right, that's it. I'm going to text Bob Saget and have him text you to follow me on Instagram.
I'll follow you on Instagram.
No.
Man. I will. I'm not. I'll probably make me feel better about my life.
I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying to you, man. That's what I'm telling you. Listen, if you can't feel better about yourself if you follow a morning radio host, then you really got you're really falling, my friend.
Yeah, that's the new self-help technique is follow
morning radio.
Yeah,
it's true.
Morning radio host. That's good. Okay, I'll do that.
Listen, you need to start doing shows. I know that you don't want to get out and catch the COVID or spread the COVID, but it, you know, people are out doing stuff, and I think there's ways to do it. And we're going to figure this out. And we're almost. I'm telling you, I really do feel like we're almost out of the woods. A few more months, man, and we're going to be there.
I'm starting to do a couple clubs here and there that are doing social distancing like shows, and I perform with a mask on. It's just not ideal. I don't feel comfortable performing in a room indoors without a mask, and performing with a mask is just not as fun. So it's not ideal. I'm accepting gigs here and there just to stay on it, but until it's the world's the same way again, I'm just kind of focusing on other things.
Well, listen,
for the time being, like just smoking a lot of pot and avoiding my feelings.
Hey, weird side note, St. Louis, one of the greatest pinball bars I've ever been to, called the Silver Ball.
Oh.
If you like pinball,
okay,
the Silver Ball.
Okay, I'll check it out. I've never even heard of it.
It's a great, it's probably got 10, really nice. I love pinball. And it's a great divey bar. It's never full during the middle of the day. You can go down there, have a cocktail, be by yourself, throw a mask on, do whatever, play pinball. It's pretty goddamn fun.
That sounds awesome. That actually sounds like a good date.
Yeah. I'm a pinball mute. So. All right, listen. I can't wait to watch The Cabin with Bert Kreischer. I'm going to watch it today. And I'm glad to hear your voice. I want to see you get out. I'm a little worried.
I'm getting out soon. I'm going to New York next week to scope it out and see if I want to move back there. But, you know, there's nowhere really I want to be right now. So I'm just kind of waiting until a city calls to me.
All right. Well, listen, you know, you need anything, we will send you anything. You need me to send a drug mule down there with some weed, let me know.
Thank you.
All right, my friend.
I'm good. I'm all set.
All right, hold on. Stand there. I love Nikki so much, but I'm always on it in between, like, it's a joke and it's not a joke.
Yeah, like, I love you, but I want to wellness check you.
Yeah, and I really mean
because
that.
Because I love you.
Yes, because I'm like, you're great. Ooh. Ooh. By the way, David Spade, maybe the second greatest storyteller, or maybe the best, and Bert's second. Have you ever listened to David Spade tell stories?
No, but I love David Spade.
Incredible. Funniest storyteller. I mean, so good at it. Like, so incredibly good at it. Like, I could listen to it for days and days and days on end. Yeah, David Spade is the man. No doubt about it, man. And, of course, Bert Kreischer, the Netflix series called The Cabin with Bert Kreischer with Caitlyn Jenner and, of course, the incredible Nikki Glaser, who went to college just up here at KU and now stays with her mom and dad in St. Louis.
When they don't leave her behind.
She has a lot of rules for sex.
You can tell she's got a lot of therapy under her belt.
Well, she vacillates between being a really out of control and not and also knowing what's unhealthy. So in the conversations, 1 second, she's like, I would do that. And then she's like, nope, I've done that before. Nothing good. And I'll tell you, that thing is true about being a guy.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I swear to God, I would be like, I really like this girl. Like, this is really something. And then you'd be like, bloop.
Well, didn't you have a friend? No names.
Oh, no. He was brilliant. He told me, and he used to do it. He'd pick a girl up at a bar and take her back, and then he would go in the bathroom and masturbate and then decide if he wanted her to still be there when he came back out.
If your tank's empty.
9 out of 10 times, he was like, boy, I got an early day tomorrow. So I appreciate you coming by. But it kept him from making her feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's actually pretty brilliant.
No, it really is. It'll save you. It'll save you hours of lost sleep and time and worry and
pregnancies.
Hunting for condoms and avoiding people when you see them the next time.
Itching.
Yeah, but it's a disturbing thing. I'm thankful I've grown out of that. Like, now I'm just worried she has that feeling.
No, why would she ever?
She's like, oh, no, I love you. I love you. I love you. And then afterwards, she's like, I wish you were not here in the pizza.
I need to zoom.
Yeah.
But
could
not
you,
here.
Could you leave? Could you leave now?
Do you have anywhere else to be?
I heard you cared about me.
How am I going to love you if you don't leave?
Like you start now. To cuddle her and she's like, you're sweaty.
Eh.
That's the worst.
Eh.
Could be this girl.
Ethan, it's Maria Athens from Fox ABC CW Newsnet National Alaska. I just learned through my Emmy award-winning journalism, you're also a pedophile in, like, little girls and children. And there's a website. I'm so f***ing exposing you. I'm going to get an Emmy. So you either turn yourself in, kill yourself, or do what you need to do. I will personally kill you and Mara Kimmel, my goddamn self, you Jewish piece of living f***ing s***. You have met your match, motherfucker. You have met your motherfucking match. I can't believe I am such a good person and thought I loved you. I fucking hate, I don't even hate you. I will pray for your Zionist fucking ass, you piece of loser. And I'm putting this on the news tonight. Bye. Have a great Friday, you motherfucker.
You know what? Nikki has a great point about never, ever meeting anybody. This, you know how this happened.
No.
She was like, flirty, flirt, flirt, flirt. And that poor dude's like, I've been married a long time. I'm pretty old and not very good looking. And she's like,
interviewing him there on the couch at the TV station.
Yeah,
well, we
can't see from the camera's angle. She's not wearing panties, and that's a very short skirt. She's like, bam, guess who's taking your picture? Me, click, click. Like,
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, you know. And that goes right from, like, let's get it on to, you know.
Have a great Friday, you motherfucker.
She has it right. Don't meet anybody.
Don't cheat. God, if you do nothing, do not get a sexting.
Go to Kreischer and Segura and drink Kool-Aid.
Who are you calling?
No one. Hold on. I'll take a sip of Kool-Aid. Go ahead. The Kool-Aid? You're drinking Kool-Aid to start your day? Really?
It's so good.
What kind?
Red. Kool-Aid is f***ing awesome. It really is awesome. It's so good. Pour a little something for yourself. It's watered down. It's not too bad.
You really drink
ice cold. It's ice cold. Yeah.
You are drinking Kool-Aid.
Yeah. It's awesome.
You're drinking a fucking 64-ounce
Kool-Aid. Segura is so tickled by this. I've never heard Segura laugh like that.
So much sugar. My head hurts.
She's right. That did make me feel better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.